You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans 12. I started last week, we've been on a series for a couple weeks, but last week we talked about the mind and things that you need to get out of your head. You ever get things in your head you need to get out? Yeah, it's that time of year we call it spring cleaning. That's when you go in the closet and you take all the junk out. It's been accumulating all years that hadn't done you one bit of good. All those shirts, dresses, or whatever that you never wore. And, somebody might have given them to you, but you didn't like them. Maybe you ought to package them up and give them back that Christmas to somebody else. My mother actually did that a couple of times. She gave us one of our gifts back after about 3 years. You know, you get a little older, you forget some of these things, you know. I just thanked her for it, and Bern and I took it home. It was something we bought her. But, yeah, just might make a note when you get a gift you're not really excited about, so you don't give it back to the same person. But, you know, your head's kind of like that, too. You get cluttered up with thoughts and things you need to get out of your head, and the Bible even tells us that in 2 Corinthians 10:4. It says, the weapons of a warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Sometimes you have to captivate your thinking. You have to cast down some of the thinking that you've picked up over the years. Everything you've heard hasn't been right. Oh, come on. Some things you heard are good, some things you heard are bad. The problem with is we've let some of those bad things stick, haven't we? And we got to get those things unstuck. We got to get them out of our head. We got to root them out. That's what he says, cast down those things. But to do that, you need a gauge, you need a governor, you need a measuring rod, as it were. You know, in carpenter work, you have a measuring tape measure, or, you know, they even have the fold-out rulers for real fine work cabinets. Sometimes they use those. But the point is, and the reason is, you want to be the same every time you cut something, every time you measure something. We want to all be on the same page. When I measure something and I tell my helper to go cut a board, I want him to have a tape measure so he's not guessing. Hello, but he pulls his tape measure out, and our tape measures are the same. We have a gauge to go by. So when you talk about what's right and what's wrong, we have the Bible. Hallelujah. And you have it, and I have it, and it doesn't matter how smart you are or how unsmart you are. It doesn't matter how educated or uneducated you are. It has nothing to do with your academic ability or lack thereof. It has to do with, do you know what God says? Have you looked into his word? Have you pulled out the tape measure? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to use a tape measure. You just pull it out and make a mark and go back, and there you are. You go. It's the same measurement if you go to the same spot the next time you use it. So God's word's that way, and that's how we define what should be in our head and what should not be in our head. Now, I don't have to tell you there's a lot of stuff that goes on in this world today we live in that doesn't need to be in your head. Hallelujah, somebody. But the good news is we have the Bible we can put in there. We have God's word that we can put in there and find out what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to think and how things are supposed to work. Things do work the way God says they do if you work them. Hallelujah. But you got to work the word. The word works for those that work the word. But the word doesn't work for those that don't work the word. In fact, the ideas and concepts that you have of yourself and your life and your business and your family that you've put into effect and you put into play, that you say every day, that you think upon, meditate on, that's what has worked for you. That's why you are where you are today, be it good or be it bad. Well, you can change that by changing your thinking. You don't need to just root out things. You need to put things in. See, it's not like we're coming to church and we've got this. I mentioned this last week. We don't just come to church and we just have this barren ground that we're trying to plant seed into. We come to church and we have these forests that we need to tear up first. We have to unlearn as much as we need to learn, because we've heard so many things in our life about God and about ourselves and about the world that we live in that are just incorrect. I mean, come on. We have a real negative mentality about ourselves. Even as Christians, we always use this phrase, well, we're just all sinners saved by grace. Well, actually, I was a sinner, but now I am a saint. Now, according to the Bible. Now, I can sin, yes, and I have. One time, I remember 5 years ago. And I need to repent when I sin. I understand that. But that's not my nature now. I have been born again. I am a Christian now. If you look in the New Testament, all the epistles are right, the letters that Paul wrote, he wrote them to saints. He didn't write them to the sinners. He said to the saints that Rome, to the saints at Ephesus. And he talked about living in a manner that would be in line with being a saint. These things need not to be named once among you as becometh saints. So he called them saints and called himself a saint. He could sin, I could sin, and the people he talked to could sin and had sinned in many cases. But he called them brethren, and he called them saints. He didn't say, now you know you're just old sinners. He really never said that. And yet we hear that all the time. We hear that amongst good people, good churches that love God. I'm not against churches. I'm pro-church. But sometimes we pick up on that, and we just live our life thinking, I'm just an old sinner. I'm just an old sinner. Well, thank God I'm not now. I was. I'm now a saint. I am, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm not a saint by my works. I'm a saint by his work. I'm not saved by my work. I'm saved by his work. But if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. I believe I'll just amen myself. He said, all things have become new, and all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself and given us the ministry of reconciliation. Oh, you got to love that. You got to love that. Now, we're saying we're perfect? No. We're saying we can't sin? No, we're not saying that. I'm saying my nature is now, as a Christian, my nature is to serve God and do right. And when I sin, I'm being a hypocrite. We talk about hypocrites in the church. They're not lost people trying to look like they're saved. They're saved people trying to live like the world. That's the hypocrisy. It's because we've been saved. We've been born again. Amen? No, I'm getting on that. That's not even what I'm teaching on here. You know, James says that we look in a mirror and we walk away and we forget what manner of man we were. We forget we're saved. We forget we're Christians. We forget we're saints, and we start living like a sinner, and then we'll say, well, that's just the way I am. And God understands. Now, what God understands is that you have just sinned. You need to repent. What he understands is he saved you, and you're his child, and you're a believer. Now, you're a saint. You're not a saint as one canonized by the Catholic Church. God bless Catholics. But you became a saint the day you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And the whole Bible, New Testament, New Covenant, excuse me, after the fact, after you're saved, is about getting you to live like a saint. I love the book of Ephesians. Y'all have got Romans 12, haven't you? You're there? Okay. Now, if you come here very often, you know that it doesn't mean a thing. I'll get there eventually. So just hold your horses. But, you know, Ephesians, just as a synopsis, Ephesians is about the body of Christ. It's a real great, great book about the body of Christ, the church of God. And the first three chapters are about how we're in Christ, predestined in Christ. Amen? And we're the body of Christ. It says that many, many times. And we've been made one with Jews and Gentiles, are all one in Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free. We're all one in Christ. And so he broke down the middle wall of partition between Jews and Gentiles. See, God loves us all now. We're all chosen now in Christ. God's got plans for Israel, and I understand the end times. But we are the bride of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Everyone that has accepted Jesus, be they Jew or Gentile, black or white, bond or free. Are you with me? And so the first three chapters talk about you are saints. We're seated with him in the heavenly places. To the saints at Ephesus are right. So the first three chapters establish that you are a saint. The last three chapters say go live like one. Really, I mean, that's the way it's set up. The whole structure of the book is very simple. And it starts talking about how we should live in the third, fourth, and fifth. But he didn't talk about how we should live until he talks about who we are. And I think we have problems many times living right, doing right, succeeding in life and in ministry and in serving God in our prayer life or whatever, because we're not confident, we're not sure who we are. We don't have it in our head who we are. Are you out there? We still think we're second rate. We still think God's about half mad at us. We still think God's, you know, going to get us every time we turn around. Listen, God's not mad at you. He's mad about you. Are you with me? He's absolutely for you. He doesn't like it when you sin. I'm not saying that. But if you repent, he'll forgive you. And if you'll try again, if you'll get up again, a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. Amen? So you got to know who you are. We even sang that song, We Belong. I love that because really, I believe I belong and I behave. I don't behave to belong so I can believe. I believe so I now belong and now I behave. And if I don't know I belong, I have a hard time behaving. I have a hard time measuring up, don't I? I feel in fear. I feel intimidated. I feel like maybe I don't quite make the mark. You know, I'm just not all that good. Maybe somebody else, maybe Billy Graham, not me. Maybe Oral Roberts, not me. You know, it's always somebody else. It's always somewhere else. It's always some other time, you know. If I was born another time, maybe. If I was born with more money, maybe. If I was born in a better family, maybe. If I had a different last name, maybe. If I was white, if I was black, if I was Hispanic, maybe. It's always something else, isn't it? And we forget, I have believed on the Lord Jesus, and I hope you have too. I assume that's most people in here. And if you've done that, you belong. You belong because you believe. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. And because you believe, you belong, and because you belong, you behave. That's something my dad used to always tell me. Remember, you're a Williams. First thing I forgot when I walked out the door. Well, remember, you're a Christian. You can do this thing. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Hallelujah. He'll help you. You're not alone. Praise God. God will help you serve him. He'll help you be like Christ. He won't help you do anything else. In fact, he'll only help you do that. If you don't want to be like Christ, you're on your own. But the thing is, you don't need help not being like Christ. You don't need any help at all being mean and ugly. Hello. And unforgiving. You need help to forgive. You need help to serve. You need help to love. You need help to pray. And that's the kind of help God gives. God will make you the best you could ever be. He'll make you like Jesus. He'll help you become like him. That's the only kind of help he offers. If you want to do something else, you're on your own. How's that worked out for you? Not too good, huh? So, change your thinking. That's what we're talking about. We're on this series of Battle of the Mind. Get stuff out of your head and get the right stuff in your head. Start thinking right. Start seeing right. Seeing yourself right. It's not about self-confidence. It's about God confidence. It's not about positive attitude. It's about raising your attitude in line with the Bible. It's not about just positive confession. It's about Bible confession, saying what God says. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I'm sorry to inform you that God loves you. If you want something hard and mean, you came to the wrong church. If you want to know you couldn't make it and find out why you're going to go under, there's nothing you can do about it, you walked through the wrong doors this morning. Because we believe you can make it in this church. We believe you can overcome sin. We believe you can overcome battles in life. You can overcome your past. Hallelujah. And you got a bright future. If you trust God, it's going to take an effort. I understand. It doesn't just happen by saying it. You know, I often say this, that, you know, you can't talk yourself out of a situation you behaved yourself into. You got to change your behavior. But if you don't change your talk, you won't change your behavior. If you don't change your thinking, you won't change your talk. Amen. If you don't get in the Word of God, you're not going to get your thinking straight. So let's just go back to the source. Amen. Praise the Lord. Change your thinking, change your life. You know, John Maxwell wrote a book called Thinking for a Change. I love that. I love the title. Because we ought to be thinking for a change. Well, for a change, we ought to be thinking. Hello. Most of us just don't think, do we? But when we do think, we ought to be thinking for a change. We ought to be thinking to change something. Thinking of what God says instead of what we've been saying. Thinking about what God says about us and what we instead of what we thought about us. Instead of maybe what our parents said about us. And I hope you had good ones. If you had good ones, that's great. That's wonderful. But I understand everybody hadn't had good parents. I understand we hadn't always been good parents. Are you out there? We ought to be encouraging one another. We ought to be lifting one another. We ought to stand behind our children and so on and so forth. If your parents didn't, God bless them. You can't change that, but you can change your thinking. You can change the way you talk. Amen. You can change your future. Hallelujah. Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's just reasonable that you and I would present ourselves before the Lord as a reasonable sacrifice, a living, reasonable, worshipful sacrifice. See, this is interesting. Allah would have you die for him. Our God sent his son to die for us. God is not looking for people who will die for him. Allah is the God of the Muslim faith. God's not looking for people that will die for him. You know what he's looking for? People that will live for him. Wow. I mean, you know, you can die pretty easy. Anybody can die. I understand I'm talking against martyrdom. There are people that have really suffered for the faith, and boy, I'll tell you what, they have the badge of honor, no doubt about it, and they'll have a martyr's crown in heaven, no question about it. But God's not looking for you to die for him. He's looking for you to live for him. He's looking for you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. Some translations say worshipful service. It's a worship to God as I serve God. It's worship to God when I forgive people and love people. It's worship to God when I pray. It's worship to God when I stand on God's word and go to church and do all those things. It's just reasonable. It's worshipful. It's the right thing to do. Goodness gracious, you paid the price for my sins. I can never pay him back. I can never do what he did for me. I can never even touch that kind of love, that kind of commitment to me and sacrifice that he made for me. The least I could do is serve him. The least I could do is stand behind him. You know, I think of even Jerry Savelle and all that they do around the world. Of course, you hear him on TV and just teach, but he does a tremendous amount of mission work. He's a real soul winner. Wins a lot of people to the Lord in his outreaches. You know, when he came and did that, when he paid off our building in 1997, I tell you what, I just thought right then, I said, we're hooking up with him. We're hooking up with him. Because people that do things for you, people that change your life, people that touch your life, you love. You love and you support and you stand behind. Now, who has ever done more for you than Jesus? Nobody. I mean, I know people in the natural that have done things for me and forever, for the rest of my life, they're going to hold a special place in my heart. I'm always going to help them. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to stand behind them. I'm going to help them when they're down, if that's the case, support them when I can, because they've made an impact on my life. They've helped me. They've made me who I am today, you know. And we've supported Jerry Savelle. Listen, $18,500, goodness gracious. We've given that many times over in support back to him. You know, $18,500 that he gave, we actually have given more than that. But I tell you what, at that time in our life, that was a miracle. It was an awesome thing. I mean, when do you have guest speakers come through that pay your building off? He didn't take an offering. He just wrote a check. The Lord spoke to him. Well, I kind of like to get behind people the Lord speaks to. How about you? I thought about borrowing a bunch of money on a building and have them come back again, you know. No, I didn't. I did not do that. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. We've paid cash on ever since then. But, you know, people that impact your life, that's why you honor your parents, because they raised you. It's just the right thing to do. Come on. And we ought to be that with each other. I mean, you are a product of a lot of people. You're a product of a lot of encouragement, a lot of help, and a lot of people that stood behind you over the years. I remember the first offering I ever got, a guy named Joel Fritz. You remember Joel? I think he gave us a $100 bill. I thought, my God, a $100 bill. What is that? That is amazing. I mean, I was like 19 or 20, and I was doing some Bible studies and so on, and came up and said, the Lord told him to give me that offer. I will never forget that. I mean, it just, to this day, and that's been when I was 20. That was 10 years ago. maybe a little more than that, but. You just don't forget those that stand behind you. Well, God, it's just reasonable right for you and I to serve him when you think of all he's done for us. And the next verse says this. It says, be not conformed to this world. Everybody say conformed. Because, see, that's the problem with being in the world and not of it. We're not of the world, but we are in it. It's if you hang around it long enough, it begins to affect you. And if you don't renew your mind, if you don't get the, because he goes on and says that, if you don't spend time with God's people and you don't spend time in God's word and you don't spend time with the Lord. Now, I know we're in the world. We can't help that. We work in the world. We have neighbors. We have relatives. I'm not saying be so heavenly minded you're no earthly good. But I'm saying you need to have priorities. You need to get it straight who you are. Amen. And never forget who you are. And spend time with the one who made you. Dance with the one what brung you, as we say in Texas. Hallelujah. And here he says, be not conformed to this world. See, the world will just, it'll get a hold of you. And a lot, that's not always bad. Some things I understand. If I live in Texas, I'm going to talk like a Texan. And I always have. I've gone all around the world, and you can take the boy out of Texas, but you can't take the Texan out of the boy. I mean, it's just in there. It just comes out when I talk. And those are not bad things, good or bad. But sometimes we pick up habits. We pick up ways of talking. Not just accents, but ways of thinking. Are you with me? Thinking negatively. Thinking negatively about people. Thinking negatively about ourselves. Hallelujah. Think about it. And it's ruined us. It's gotten in there, and we got to get that stuff out of us. We need not be conformed to this world. We've sinned in ways that are acceptable in society. It's not that big a deal. Maybe it was, you know, 50 years ago, but this is 2015. Woohoo. But, you know, morality doesn't change. Right doesn't change. Just because something's new doesn't mean it's right. In fact, generally, most things new are wrong. Very few that are right. There are some new things that come along that are right. But, you know, we just move the old landmarks and the old fence posts that the Bible talks about. Be careful that you move those, that you don't move those old fence posts, those old landmarks. They're there for a reason. Amen? And so he says, be not conformed to this world, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, how do I not be conformed to the world? Well, you can't be neutral. You can't just go through life and say, try to stay clean. It's not like a ship that just stays in a harbor so no, you know, there's no problem with storms and waves because they stay in a harbor. Maybe the safest place for the ship is in a harbor, but that's not what ships were made for. We can stay home and lock our doors and try to stay holy. Are you with me? And not be contaminated with the world, but that's really not what we're made for. We're made as lights in a dark world. But we have to be in the world, and we should let our light shine in the world. Are you out there? But, having said that, we need not be conformed to the world. I get tickled that sometimes we try to change the church to be like the world. And I'm all for reaching people. I don't care. I mean, we've got all kinds of different churches out here, cowboy church, motorcycle church, you know, and every kind of church you can think of. You know, it's almost like designer-friendly churches, you know, designer-friendly jeans or whatever. And they're reaching people. People are getting saved, and I am for that. Stay with me. I'm for reaching people. But I think sometimes we've got the idea that we have got to change to get people. Hello. Well, maybe there are some things we need to change, but we don't need to change everything. It's like fishing and throwing your net out and catching the fish. Or, hey, let the sides of the boat down and just get down there amongst them. The problem with that is you sink your boat. Hello. Now, we love everybody. And I know music changes. And I know dress. I'm not wearing a suit today. You know, I've changed it. And there are times I will wear jeans and so on and so forth. There may be different type meetings. I got that. I understand that. But the way we live should never change. Are you out there? We should live holy. We should love. We should be encouraging, not critical. We should be uplifting, not tearing people down. Amen. Now, to do that, you're going to have to renew your mind. It's all up in your head. So you're headed where your head is. And he says, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word transform means to change into another form, to transform or to transfigure. You remember when Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Peter, James, and John were there, and he was transfigured, his garments were whiter than snow, you know, and he glistened like the sun. He was transfigured, same word. God wants us to be transformed or changed. Everybody say change. You and I need a change, amen? We need change for the better. How many of you know there's some things you need to change in your life? Amen. Well, of course, every one of us could raise our hand on that. Well, how's that going to happen? It's not going to happen just thinking about it. It's not going to happen just wanting it. It's going to happen by putting something different in our head. You cannot solve the problems that you created with the same mentality that you created those problems with. You have to think about that one. I mean, if this old adage, you know, well, I got myself in this mess, I'll get myself out. You know, that is the craziest thinking I've ever heard in my life. I am the problem and I am the answer. I like to say you am confused. That's what you am. You can't be both. You may be the problem, but he's the answer. Amen? You may have got yourself into this, but he's the one that's going to get you out. You need to get with him, find out what he has to say, amen, so you can get out of this mess. How do you do that? Well, you get in the Word. He says this, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed or changed by the renewing of your mind, putting something else in there, renewing. That word renew means to renovate. It means to complete for the better. It's a renewal or renovation. Like you go in and you fix up a house and you tear out some bad walls and put in new, or tear the carpet out and put new carpet down. You fix it right. You get the junk out and you put new stuff in. You renew it. And that's what we're wanting to do with our head, because if we don't get our head right, if we don't get our mind right, if we don't get our thinking right, we're not going to have our talking right. And if we don't have our talking right, we're not going to get our walk right. Are you with me? So you have to get back to the source and quit putting Band-Aids on things. God forgives us. I understand that. If you sin, he forgives you. But God's not happy about your sin. He doesn't want you to keep doing it. I heard this term the other day. I thought it was pretty good, that we're kind of... We're lying apologizers. in many cases. Now stay with me. Because we say we're sorry, but we're really not, because we're going to go do it again.
That's right.
Now, I'm not throwing rocks at anybody. I got no stones to throw. I'm talking to me too. Sometimes I say I'm sorry, but I know I'm going to go do that again. I'm not even trying to work on it. I'm not asking God to help me. I just want him to forgive me. Woohoo, I'm forgiven. And he does forgive us. I understand that. But you know, the Bible says we need to confess and forsake our sin. And God's given us power not to just be forgiven. He's given us power to overcome our sins. In fact, Jesus came to save us from our sins, not just from the consequence of them, hell, but from our sins. So we can overcome, you know, addictions. We can overcome hate. We can overcome unforgiveness. Now, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, as long as you keep doing it, keep going. But start working on it. And you should go less and less and less. Are you with me? Serious quiet, this Presbyterian church, all of a sudden got real quiet. But I challenge you, you know, to work on those things. And how? Renew your mind. How are you going to change? Renew your mind. How are you going to get this right? Renew your mind. How are you going to quit doing that? Renew your mind. How are you going to love that person that you just can't stand the first time their name comes up? Everything about you just goes, your blood pressure goes up. Woo! Just the mention of their name. See, that tells me you hadn't forgiven them. You still got that bitterness in you. You need to get rid of that. How? Renew your mind. Renew your mind. Yeah. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing, by the changing, by the renovating, by making it better. By the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Oh, man, that's good. You know, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 4:16. It says, although the outward man perisheth, the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, how's that happen? I think he's telling us in context that the inside man, the spirit, the mind, can be renewed with the word, by the washing of the water of the word. Sometimes we've got to clean that junk out. People I know many times in church, they'll say, oh, you just go down to that church, you're just getting brainwashed. Yeah, absolutely. Yours is still dirty. I got mine washed. That's exactly why I come to church, to get my brain washed. That's why I read the word, to get my brain washed. Yeah. I understand what they're saying, but why would you not want your brain washed? Okay, just tell it like it is. Colossians 3, turn there if you will. Is this helping anybody? Well, y'all amen or something. Come on, let me know. Colossians 3, this is interesting because he talks about the way we used to live and the way we used to walk. And I'm not here beating you on the head. I want to encourage you. Goodness gracious, I got no stones to throw. I have to work on things like everybody else does, and I'm not perfect, and you're not perfect. We're all working on this thing. We're a work in progress. But hopefully we're getting better at it, amen? Hopefully we're overcoming some things. Now, I always say that, you know, you can't overcome everything at one time, but whatever's right in front of you, whatever's the most prominent thing in your life that you know is coming in your mind even right now while I'm speaking, why don't you work on that thing? Why don't you start praying about that thing? I always say that if there's 100 coyotes coming at you, shoot the one on the front porch first, okay? And then get the next one. You know, start right there where you are, and little by little, you'll be amazed that those things will start thinning out, you know, and you'll just get better and better. You get to where you actually love people. Wow. That's a pretty good thing as a pastor, to love people. And one thing I'm working on. But notice what it says here. He says, he talks about people that are lost, and he says in the 7th verse, Colossians 3, verse 7, into which you also walked sometime when you lived in them, but now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. And he said you were that way. In fact, 6th verse says, for which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. That's not us. That's who we were. Because he even says, in which you also walked sometimes when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these. Anger, malice, wrath, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. See that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Everybody say old man. Now I'm not talking about you ladies. I'm not talking about your husband. But you need to. All of us, spiritually speaking, need to put off that old man. You know why that old man is the old man? Because you're a new man now, or a new woman. Are you with me? That's why he says that. He doesn't say that to lost people, because lost people, that's the only man or only, that's the only person they are. But us, no. We're new people. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. We are now saints now. So let's put off that old man. Let's quit thinking that old way. Let's quit acting that old way. Amen? And he says this, lie not one to another, see that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed, renovated, renewed, same word there in Romans 12, 2, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. How do I renew the new man? I renew the new man with knowledge. I renew the new man with God's word. Be not conformed to this world, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So there's something going on here when I'm in the Bible, when I'm reading the Bible, when I'm hearing sermons, when I'm adhering to and listening to God's word. There's something going on inside of me. That inner man is being renewed day by day. I'm being changed from glory to glory. Hallelujah. I'm starting to become more like Christ. I'm starting to forgive as Christ forgave me. I'm starting to love as Christ loved me. And then you get, every once in a while, you'll get one of these kind of compliments, and it's the greatest compliment you'll ever have. You know, I just saw Jesus all in you. Well, that doesn't get any better than that. I'm not Jesus, I understand that. But I'm trying my best to be like him. I'm trying my best to be like Christ. Isn't that what the Bible says? Ephesians 5:1, it says, be imitators of God as dear children. Because he's our father, we were part of this family, we should act like God. I'm not God, but I should act like him. He loves, I should love. He's holy, I should be holy. Be ye holy, for the Lord your God is holy. That word imitate is the word mimetai. We get the word mimic from it. Some translation says almost to the point of aping like a monkey. We should copy him and do exactly what he does. We are all copycats. We just need to make sure we're copying the right cat. Amen? I mean, really, we pick up who we're around or what kind of music we listen to or shows we watch or, you know, and we dress like and act like and talk like. If we're in America, we talk, you know, American. If we're in Texas, we talk Texan. So I throw that out. I mean, we're copycats. Come on. But if you want to copy the right thing, a right person, copy Jesus. Get in his word. Find out what he says, what he does. Look at him. Watch him. What would Jesus do? Do that. And renew your mind. And start saying, I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer in Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. I am not who I used to be. I am more than what has happened to me in my life. I'm more than the way I was raised. I'm more than the circumstances surrounding me. I'm more than all the opposition in the world. I am who God says I am. Hallelujah. I'm a child of the living God. I can't overcome this. I can't rise again. I can go forward. I can help. I can heal. I can give hope. I can encourage. I can bless. I can make it. I can make it in business. I can make it in marriage. I can make it in church. I believe we were designed to succeed, but we're programmed to fail. You got to change your programming. What you got to do. And that's what church is all about. It's about reprogramming your mind. And he says this. He says, put off, 10th verse, put on the new man. You may be thinking it's a put on for you to love someone. Well, sometimes it is. Sometimes it is a put on. Sometimes you don't feel like loving somebody. But this is what's so cool about this. You know that old saying, fake it till you make it. If you'll start loving people because God says so, and you don't feel anything at all, but you're going to obey God, because love is not a feeling, incidentally. Love is action. Love is what you say and what you do. God didn't commit you to a feeling, because sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. You know the commercial about the Peter, Paul, you know, Almond, and all that. Anyway. But God didn't say, I want you to feel a certain way. He didn't say that. He said, I want you to do a certain thing. He said, I want you to say a certain thing. I want you to pray a certain thing. Because if he can get you to pray, and he can get you to say, and he can get you to do something, he'll change your feelings. Don't follow feelings. Feelings follow actions. It's an amazing thing. It's not like, you know, Jonathan's wife, Elizabeth, she's an actress. She's in California. In fact, she's got a commercial for, can I say that? Or can I say? Yeah, got a commercial she's doing actually for Gospel for Asia. She's actually flying in to do a commercial for Gospel for Asia, big organization all around the world. And she's done little bit parts and, you know, and cameos and so on, movies. And she goes to acting school and acts. But she acts a part, and then when it's over, she's still Liz. Are you with me? She still lives. But this is not the way this works, though. You know, those actors, I'm amazed. Some of those actors you really like, you know, some of your favorite shows, and you go, man, I really like that guy. And then they interview the guy, and you think, boy, he's an idiot. Goodness. Why? Because they're actors. They're just acting a part. That's all they are. This is not that way. If you will start loving people, and you'll start forgiving people, and you'll start acting it out and putting on, sometimes it's a put on, it will change you. And you won't go back to who you were. You will actually start loving people. You'll actually start being a kind of an enjoyable person to be around. It'll actually change you, because by the renewing of your mind, you will cease to be conformed to the world, and you will be transformed. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, happy day. And don't you want to be changed? I think there ought to be two things you come to church with. Every time you come to church, every time you sit down and read your Bible, every time you pray, every time you get in a service at all, you ought to come with two things in mind. I'm coming hungry, and I'm coming willing to be changed. Amen? Because all of us could do better. Amen? But the way it's going to happen is it's in that mind. It's in that head. It's what's going in our head. It's not just the stuff we've got to pull out. We don't live in a vacuum. We don't want an empty head. We want a head that's full of God's Word. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 3. Oh, hallelujah. I'm preaching myself happy. I don't know about y'all. 2 Corinthians 3rd chapter. And this is amazing. He's talking about the reading of the Word here too. It's interesting the way he starts out. He compares the old covenant with the new covenant. Talks about Moses, and now that we're in this new, aren't you glad we're not in the old covenant, that it's been fulfilled in Christ, that we have a new covenant, that we're new creatures in Christ, that's not up to you to get everything just right to go to heaven. It's what God did that gets us to heaven, amen? Actually, it's what God does to change us, because now he can change us where we couldn't change ourselves. What you couldn't do before, you can do now because you have his help, amen? And you say, well, I was just raised this way, or I just happen to be of this certain descent, or it's that, you know, that Irish blood or that Latin blood. Oh, come on. It's not got nothing to do with genetics. It's got nothing to do with environment. Are you with me? It has a lot to do with psychology, I'll tell you that. It has a lot to do with the way your mind works. But it has to do with mainly the fact that you've been born again. Now you're a Christian. You're in the world, but you're not of it. And you don't have to act like it. You don't have to live like it. Woo, good news. I don't hate you when you sin. I don't hate myself when I sin. I'm disappointed, but I still love myself. How could you not love me? I don't know. You know what? Well, I mean, you don't hate yourself. Surely you don't. Come on. I mean, if you're sinning, you just need to work on it. It's what you need to do. You need to repent, and you need to work on it. And God will help you do that. Notice what it says here. It says, seeing, 12th verse, 2 Corinthians 3, I'll close this out. I'm headed that way. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, and we do, we use great plainness of speech. Some translation says boldness of speech. And we are plain about this. I think we should be absolute about the Word of God. I don't believe that Word of God is a gray area. I don't think it's up for grabs or up for private interpretation. That's what the Scripture says. It's not up for that. The Scripture is what it says. Jesus, everybody was amazed at Jesus because he was so matter-of-fact. He was so absolute. He taught as one that had authority, and not as the scribes, is what the Bible says. He would say things absolutely. You know, if you ask, you shall receive. If you seek, you shall find. If you knock, the door will be open unto you. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Ask, and you shall receive. He didn't say, you know, if you ask, you never know, God might do something. And sometimes he says yes, and sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait a while. Did you know that's not in the Scripture? Jesus never talked like that. Now, obviously, he's talking about you're asking things he said already that he'd do. And there's the key. If you find what God says, it's absolute. Do you know anybody, any church anywhere, that will give an altar call and ask people to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and tell them, if you'll come down here, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter how old you are, how young you are, if you'll come down here and you'll give your life to Jesus, as Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. If you'll come down here and you accept him as Lord and Savior, for God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. If you'll come down here according to Romans 10:9 and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, if you're willing to make that commitment in your life and come down here, I want you to know that God might save you. You never know what the Lord will do. Do you know any church anywhere that talks like that? I don't. Do you? Well, I mean, you ask them, and we're going to pray with you, but you just might go to hell. We don't know. You know, we don't know what kind of mood God's in, because who knows what the Lord's going to do. He may say, he may not say, he may say yes, he may say no. I don't know. But come on over, give it a shot. Let's pull the lever down and hope it comes up triple nickels. Come on. It's not Las Vegas. This is God's word. You know, I don't know of a church anywhere that wouldn't tell you if you'll do this, God will save you. He'll forgive your sins. He'll get you out of the mess you're in. If you come to him, if you come to Jesus, he loved the world and he loves you. Absolute. So why is it when he says something else, all of a sudden we go, well, now you really don't know. Well, the only reason we do know this is because he said this. That's how we know he'll do this over here, because he said that. Isn't that right? So the Bible shouldn't be iffy. It shouldn't be wishy-washy. It shouldn't be gray. You know, we got enough of that going on in the world as it is. Come on. So we use great plainness of speech, great boldness of speech. Seeing we have such hope, I love it. I don't have a problem telling you you can make it if you'll come to Jesus. Whatever you've done, wherever you've been, whatever's going on in your life, I know that he's greater than the mountain on your horizon. You need to quit talking to God about how big your mountain is, and you need to start talking to your mountain about how big your God is. Amen. Hallelujah. And he says, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, the old law. But their minds were blinded. Everybody say minds. Their minds were blinded. For unto this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. They read the scripture, but their minds are blinded. They don't take it personally. They don't take it literally. You can read the scripture all kinds of ways. Are you with me? It says, which veil is done away in Christ. Even unto this day, when Moses read, the veil is upon their heart. It's on their heart. It's on their head. It's all, you know, we're just going through the motions. Some people just go to church. They don't pay attention to what's being said. You know, nice service, nice worship. Good-looking preacher, you know. I'm just talking theoretically about the other. Yeah, you walk out, you go, nice people, it was great. Well, what did he preach? I don't know. You know, it's church. We just went to church. Hello. But we weren't listening. We weren't listening to what was being said. We weren't taking it as God's word to us. See, this is not my word to you. This is God's word to you. This is not about what I think. It's what God says. You know, if I say something to help you, it might help you a week or two. I don't know. But if God says something, it'll help you. It'll help you for a lifetime. You'll never, one word from God change your life forever. Amen? So it says, their minds are blinded, and to this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Hallelujah. 15th verse. Even to this day, when Moses read, the veil is upon their heart. They're not getting it, because this is not about just intellect. It's about heart. And open our head up. Open our heart up and our head up. Nevertheless, when it, the heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Glory to God. You come in here with a whole heart and an open heart and turn your heart toward God, then this thing will come alive to you. Amen? Nevertheless, when it, the heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, he's not talking about a Pentecostal service, okay? Thank God for Pentecostal services. Thank God for shouting and jumping and running and Jericho marches and flipping and everybody falling out. I think that's wonderful. If y'all want to all fall out right now, that's fine. Go right ahead. I mean, I believe in those kinds of things. But that's not what he's talking about. We often use that to say that if it was a wild service, we'll say, man, the Spirit of the Lord was there. There was liberty. But the liberty he's talking about here is the liberty to understand God's word. The liberty to really see God in the scripture instead of have that veil over our face like they did in the Old Testament, the reading of the Old Testament. They didn't get it. And if you don't see God, you don't get it. If you don't see his love, you don't get it. I'd go a step further. If you don't see you, you don't get it. Because this is about you. It's about his love for you. It's not about him healing that woman with the issue of blood. That was important to that woman, but see, he wants to heal you. It's not about him saving Mary Magdalene. He wants to save you. Oh, it was about that to her, but now this is about you. Amen. It says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Liberty to understand the Scriptures. Liberty to see it without the veil over our face. Liberty to get this thing, praise God, and get it in our head. And in so doing, renew our minds with the Word of God and not be conformed to this world. Be transfigured, transformed, changed. We all, 18th verse, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror, a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed. Changed. There's that same word again. Changed. Same word translated transfigure. Transformed in Romans 12 too. It says we are changed into that same image. Changed into that same image. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's one thing to see Jesus in the Scriptures, and that is ultimately the first thing we've got to get a hold of. But you need to see yourself in the Scriptures. You need to see yourself walking like Jesus walked, talking like Jesus talked, acting like Jesus acted. You say, oh, that's just blasphemous. No, that's exactly what Scripture says to do. In fact, when it compels us to live holy, he'll say things like, forgive as Christ forgave you. Love as Christ forgave you. Was it John 4, 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are we in this world. We are the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12, and members in particular. All of us are the body of Christ. We are his modus operandi. We are how he operates. You looking for God to move? God's looking for you to move. You are his hands and his feet. Amen? But you're going to have to renew your mind to get a hold of that. You're going to have to get all that old man, put off that old man and put on that new, which is renewed in knowledge of him. Knowledge of him. Knowledge of him changes me. Close out with this story. T.L. Osmer is a great evangelist, great missionary. He's gone on to be with the Lord. Has spoke to literally millions of people in crusades around the world and had miracle signs and wonders. When he was a young man, he went to India. And when he got over there, he had a crusade and nothing happened. And he came back defeated, came back to the United States. And he was just defeated, cried out to God. He says, God, I just don't understand what's going on. I know you sent me over there. I went over there. I had those crusades and nothing really happened. And he began to immerse himself in the Word. He says, God, I'm just going to go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and look at Jesus. And he said, one day it dawned on him. He said, I had seen Jesus rise up out of the Scriptures. I had seen him raise the dead, cast out devils, and lay hands on the sick. I saw him walk to the shores of Galilee and the streets of Capernaum. I saw him giving to the poor. I saw him walking on the water. And he said, but one day I kept reading, I kept reading. I saw T.L. Osborne come up out of those pages. And I saw T.L. Osborne doing what Jesus did. And he went back to India and he took it by storm. And his crusades are phenomenal. They're in the record books, all the things that took place. But he got a picture of himself the way God saw him. He got a picture of himself doing what Jesus did, which is what we all ought to do. Come on. If Jesus did it, you can do it. That's what Jesus said. Come on, I'm not being sacrilegious. That's just the truth. So quit acting like the world wants you to act. Start acting like the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for your sins. Amen.